Welcome to the Summoning Hour.
All right, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Summoning Hour podcast.
Sorry, we were just joking ahead of recording about doing an ASMR section, so it felt too good to pass up. So here we are. I've got Katie, Davis, and
Neil,
sorry. Too many names in the last 24 hours.
Understandable.
It's totally okay.
And so we have a slew of content coming forward from Emerson. We're going to be talking about event coordination with CEX, content production, actual Emerson esports. It's been a hell of a trip already, and now I get to sit down and make podcasts with this crew of students that have basically exemplified the idea of student-driven content production and creation and everything behind collegiate esports like I've been talking about for the last year and a half. So welcome to the show. Why don't we start with Katie introducing yourself?
Oh, boy. Hi. Are we doing first names? Okay.
Yes.
I'm Katie Ree. I'm a senior at Emerson College. I graduate in May, thank God. I first got into the CEX because I took Kevin Mitchell's intro to esports class, and he was running this event, and I think there's maybe all of 40 people max at the first one, 40 to 50.
Yeah,
it was a very small, very like grassroots type event, and Kevin kept telling us, it's going to be the next big thing, it's going to be the next big thing, and seeing it now was so amazing, and I am probably the worst example of what a gamer should be. I can't play any sort of game without freaking out that someone is shooting at me or throwing something at me. I can only play League because it's from the third person, and that's about it.
Knowing what you like and dislike.
First-person shooters are not my thing. I also can't do horror movies.
I hate horror movies.
The first game that I was introduced to as, like, any sort of like esports or any like video games was Until Dawn. And scarred for days. But I guess we were talking about esports, and we definitely talked about more women in esports. There was Taryn Cahill that was there, and it was a dream to interview her. She was wonderful, and I guess that's what I want to see more of.
Yeah.
More women in esports.
Diversity,
yes.
Inclusion.
Everyone, everything. For everyone.
Yeah. Neil?
Yeah, I mean, jumping off that, we had a women in esports panel at CEX last year, and I guess for like greater CEX context, the first one was 2018, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was a very small affair held by a class that Kevin Mitchell was leading. And then last year we did 2019 in Emerson Semmel Theater, which was a little bit bigger. It was still all in one, you know, auditorium. There were not multiple panels happening at any time. There were not exhibitors or anything like that. The Army was there, but. And then this year we kind of ballooned it a little bit, or at least that was Kevin's aspiration to say, hey, you know, how can we make this bigger? If we took this out of Emerson exclusively, how could we expand? And so we moved to the Boston Park Plaza. We were able to have four different conference rooms, so panels running simultaneously. You know, we upped our video production efforts, so all of the panels were recorded, and should hopefully be going live at a later date. And then we even had some exhibitors there, like Corsair, iBuyPower, Full Sail University was there, the U.S. Army again. And that's kind of just a greater CX context. I think for him, he's always loved to build things. And in terms of like the East Coast esports market, you think of esports in the U.S. primarily on the West Coast and in Los Angeles. But there's a lot of great potential for the collegiate space on the East Coast just because there's so many colleges over here. So you have a lot of people from, I mean, you just have the greatest concentration of students in the country, I believe, and a lot of people who are passionate and interested in the space. So I know people who came out from the TESPA program who were at Rutgers, who now work at NYXL, and personally into the Emerson origin story, a lot of the founders of our esports program went to work at Riot and work there now.
So oh, nice.
I don't know all their Riot summoner names or how you would look them up. But I know that there's like Greg Dunn and Mitchell Cucci. There's a woman named Ashley whose last name I can't remember. And I think that was all several years ago, kind of like a little bit before my time. Like when I was a freshman, Greg was a senior, so I barely knew those guys. But
So how about your context, your introduction? Like,
yeah,
as the former president of the esports club here, what was that like for you, and how did you get into that role?
Right. So I guess just to continue with the history story is they ran the club when I was a freshman. It's very much like a casual, we play video games sort of thing. But then they did go on to get jobs and employment at Riot. So the people who took over the club after them, Josiah Seat and Aaron Van Leesten, kind of saw this potential to make the club more professional, make it more interesting. Well, make it more interesting, I say. Make it different, you know, to see the professional side of esports and say, hey, how can we help prepare people for jobs and for this industry that's clearly starting to grow at a very rapid pace? And that was kind of where I fell into it. So I worked under them a little bit as like a game coordinator for Overwatch, which that was kind of my first general esport. Growing up, personally, I was very much a console player because that's just what we did. That's who I knew. And then I kind of came to college and saw Overwatch and I was like, oh, this is just like a fun shooter. But then when I realized there was this whole, you know, it was so much deeper than that in terms of just being a PC shooter and being an esport and being competitive, you know, that I could actually compete in a program like TESPA and be on a team and have friends that we all just like played together. It sort of transformed that interest of gaming into a new direction. So I was leading one of the Overwatch squads for a time, and then the club presidents at that time just saw like, hey, you're a very reliable person. You come in and you do a lot of stuff. Like, would you help us with more? So I kind of became the secretary for my junior year. And that was like running meetings and running all kinds of events just under them and assisting them with what they needed. So we did stuff like in our Emerson Paramount Theater, which is on, it's just a big theater in downtown Boston. We had a collegiate Smash tournament, which was a very interesting production because it was actual like theater production. We had people from all over the city coming out to see that. It was on Easter, which is an interesting time to do a tournament. If you say need an extension cable and it's Easter, that's hard to find. So we did that. We had an event afterwards or the next year where we had Jen Cohn, I believe it's C-H-O-N. She's a voice actress from like, she was.
Oh, I remember this. It was cool.
What is, oh gosh, what is the character in The Last Airbenders?
Katara.
Katara,
right?
Well, no, she was somebody's mother. Oh, she was like Zuko's mother.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And she
Let's
was,
verify this before we keep going on this
I
tangent.
I believe.
But I was very upset that I missed that one.
Yeah.
Because I was in class.
So she's an Emerson alumni, and she's the voice actress for Farrah in Overwatch, which is how this happened.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And it was kind of crazy because she posted on her Instagram about Emerson, and someone who is in our club was like, oh, that's so cool. I go to Emerson. We do this esports thing. And then they just started talking, and that's just like, that led to her coming to visit.
That was such a packed thing.
Yes.
It was so cool. That I saw all the pictures from
oh
that.
Oh, gosh. I remember.
I was literally sitting in Walker just, like, kicking myself. I was like, I should have just left. Like, I could have seen
Should have just skipped class.
Should have just left.
I was so bummed. I couldn't go. Like, I heard about it, like, last minute, and I just.
Oh, that sucks.
But no, from what I saw, when she started doing some of the voices, I think people just went insane. Because, like, you listen to them, and especially from, like, Avatar, like, that is a lot of it my childhood.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Ursa is the character.
Ursa, yeah. Zuko's mom.
Yeah, I believe. Mm-hmm. So that's Jen Cohn, C-O-H-N.
Yeah.
I believe his last name.
Yep.
And I feel like that event is kind of like the epitome of what we were doing at the time because it was a live event. You know, we had people coming in from our school and from outside. It was a TESPA event. So, you know, we were working with the TESPA program and they were giving us Soylent. And we were also doing a lot of content production around it. So we had students who came here with her and interviewed her, and we posted it on our YouTube and on our Twitter. And we saw it as an opportunity to give just students experience in every different aspect. Mm-hmm. You know, it gave us eyes within the school just because we were engaging alumni, and the alumni office became somewhat interested in us. You know, we were doing live events, we were doing content production, and we were kind of running the whole show ourselves a bit.
That's been
which,
a trend.
Yes. That's, I guess, the most important thing for our community has been that it's student-led a lot. Like, the students have said, this is what we want to do. You know, and there have been some people within the administration, the faculty, who have been, okay. They've said, you can do this. You know, we will help where we can and where appropriate. Even if it's a total mess at sometimes and you're trying to fly people to San Francisco or LA to go to TwitchCon, like last notice, which you shouldn't do. I did that. I worked that one out. Don't do that. Don't try to do all that paperwork at the last moment.
But, I mean, if there's a best time to be making mistakes and learning these things, it's with the college environment.
It's when you have the umbrella. You have the umbrella, and you're like, listen, I'm only so much responsible for this. I'm a student. I still have classes to go to. Like, relax.
Yeah.
The university kind of acts as a bit of a safety net with it, but at the same time, like, you still get to claim ownership of it, the good and the bad.
Yeah.
Definitely seeing that yesterday, we all were able to work within ourselves, but also know that at the same time, this is not yet what we're doing for a living.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And we're still all students, and it's a very big learning experience, definitely from the first CEX to now.
Right.
We always have this laundry list of things that we know that we can do better and things that we can always try, but always keep it in the lens that that event yesterday, the CEX, was mainly put together by all of us. Like, not all of us, just the 30 of us in this room.
That's right, I did everything.
Yes, Neil was our fearless leader, did everything. Yeah. But it was
definitely not
20, 30 students that...
Yeah. 20 or 30,
yeah. Yeah, that really hauled butt. we put this together.
And took on roles that they've never had experience with before, managing an event that size with that many invited speakers and, like, all the technological requirements. Like, going through this campus where going through the journalism department, like, there's so much equipment here and specialization that, like, y'all know your shit. Like, it's really impressive. And, like,
we're the number one journalism school in the country.
I don't know according to who, but yes.
We're better than NYU. That's all I can say.
According to...
Oh, okay. Man.
We're going to leave it at that pride of Emerson. We're better than NYU.
So, actually, that seems like a good segment, talking about all the student activity with CEX yesterday. Davis, why don't you introduce yourself and how you got involved with CEX yesterday?
Yeah, of course. Hi, I'm Davis Gagnon. I'm a junior here at Emerson College, currently studying visual media arts with a focus in film production. So really how I got into CEX was really just, so currently I'm taking Kevin Mitchell's class for esports. And it was around probably like the fourth class where he just really introduced the idea of CEX. Like, oh, this really huge event. It's student run. We have all these people coming to these panels. And just like, it is a great networking opportunity. And we would also love people who are passionate about esports to help be a part of this crew. Because what I've really learned about Kevin recently, because like, almost every single class, like, after, I would always talk with him for probably, like, 4 hours, and this was, like...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like, an evening class I always had with him that always went to, like, 10 p.m., and then afterward, I would always just, like, catch him there, and I would just talk with him, and the man just loves to talk. He's a really passionate guy, and just what he really stands for is just his students come first for a lot of reasons. He wants his students to succeed. He wants to give them the opportunities and the skills necessary to succeed in a lot of businesses. And that's like a huge testament of like what esports is right now. It's a huge growing industry that is in constant demand of all of these creative people with all these amazing skills and sets required to do it. Because it's not just gamers. It's not just like people standing around playing games. It's all about businesses coordinating with organizations. It's about sponsors. It's about all of these collaborative efforts to make events like this, like CEX and LCS and all these things happen. And when it all comes together, it really just makes just a significant impact. And just being a part of the media team with Katie, it was just such a really cool experience of just straight, like, almost like 8 hours of interviews.
It was 8 hours of us.
Yeah.
No, it was 8 hours of Davis dealing with me. That's what it was.
Katie, you rocked those interviews. Yeah, come on.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Everyone will have that opportunity to see and hear those coming up.
Yes, they're
going to
come
later.
Out soon, hopefully.
Yeah.
And so
we don't know what set date yet, but they'll be out on the website, correct?
They will be up, I think, yeah.
So this
You'd
is
love to see it.
Essentially 10 to 15 minute mini panels with a lot of the speakers from CEX will be available for everyone. And then I believe the actual panel videos will also be available. Good. So if you didn't have a chance to come out and experience everything live and get those connections, which it was a huge networking event yesterday, absolutely huge, you'll at least get the content for that. And so thinking about how content plays into Emerson Esports and what you have producing with Emerson being the number one journalism school in the country, like, how does that all playing together? Like, how does content for esports help fuel that journalism aspect?
So I guess for me, I was interviewing from 10 a.m. Yeah. until 6:30.
Yeah, like 6:30.
Steph Orm was our last interview at 6:30.
Yeah, before what the threat of the fire alarm going off.
What a gem she was for our last interview. But no, so that for me was, it was interviewing on the fly. I knew the topic of the panelists that came in, and I obviously could not hear their panel.
Right.
I couldn't be four places at once. I wish I could have, because I wish I could have been on the floor and in the keynotes, and it couldn't happen. I wish I had like a body double that could just go over and record it for me, but I can always go back and watch them.
Mm-hmm.
But it was asking people on the fly about like what they're doing, what they want to know, like what they value with this conference and what they want to see the esports industry grow into. And I call it circumlocution, but like asking around the questions, like what I want to hear and what I know that they're trying to, is like what they're trying to say that's in the back of their head.
Yep.
And it's just, it's like fine tuning that I was able to, once we got towards the end of the day, it was just like clockwork. Like
yep.
There was questions, like I had a set of like, oh, like how are you enjoying the conference? Like, why is this important to you? What do you want to see with the esports industry? And then I listened to things that they were saying and pick out little questions that I had about more finite topics that
yeah.
they were saying.
They might have like a keyword that they mentioned, and
yeah.
then you're just
yeah.
able
yeah.
to latch on to it and just pull out something else.
And the one thing that I noticed is that we always did, and I definitely took this from Sean Evans from The Hot Ones.
Nice.
I was like, okay, we're gonna roll out the red carpet for you. Is there anything that we didn't touch upon that you wanted to talk
yep.
about? And some people said, oh, like, no, there's nothing I want to talk about. I think I'm good. Or there's other people that found the one thing that was like either like swirling around their head or was just on the tip of their tongue, and those were often the best sound bites that we got of the day.
Yeah,
and it was awesome.
Unlike the,
it was really rewarding.
Unlike the whole, oh, I should just do this thing, this crazy stunt one more time, and then someone inevitably gets hurt. This is the oh, I should ask one more question, because that last conversation bit usually ends up providing some of the most value to anyone who's listening.
It was really great.
Oh, yeah.
And I always had the issue of, I really like talking. Like, I like talking to people. Like, I like making those connections. I'm a very, like person. I'm a people person. I know
right.
that about myself. And I would always, like, look over, and Davis would be like, go. And I'm like, okay, we're done. We're going to roll the red carpet now. I'll stop talking.
No, it's just mainly, like, trying to keep a good, consistent schedule.
Case, yeah.
You really, like, were insightful with all of them, like, getting them talking about themselves, like, getting their passions.
People
and
like
really
to talk
just
about
getting,
themselves.
Yeah, getting the good, like, answers out, and really just like within that set time that we had for each person. I think what we have for content to just display for just the esports community in general and for the future of CEX and etc. just really shows magnitudes of like how far this industry and this event will go for future years.
The other question that I was really excited about was if people were like, oh, I am either a non-traditional gamer or I've been gaming my entire life. The best question that I think that I got was always the one that people smiled for, was what is your favorite game, either currently or from your childhood? And if people were like, oh, it's League or oh, it's Apex, I always like asking them, like, I play League. So I was like, oh, like, Joe, what's your main?
Oh, I don't know. I've played like 10 games of League of Legends ever.
Or like, Neil, who's your main?
In League?
Yes.
Nautilus.
Perfect. Do you play?
Actually, it is Nautilus for me too.
Yeah, Nautilus is the best.
I like Annie because she has Tibbers.
And
that's about it.
Tibbers OP, man.
Tibbers is great. But no, like, everyone smiles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of the thing I feel like at the end of the day with the esports business is just people want the games. Like,
yep. Yeah.
And it's, I guess, from my perspective, it seems like the million-dollar question is like, okay, but if we're not the game, how can we get people to still pay attention to us and give us money? Which is what people are thinking about. I mean, that's kind of where the business.
Give us money, please. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. No, listen, running a team is not cheap.
Oh.
We have to live in. We have to put up these guys in LA. That costs a lot of money. Please.
Oh, absolutely.
But yeah, I mean, it was kind of this common interest around the games. I guess that brought people together.
It definitely was a touch point that we recognized in, I think, almost everyone. Because if they were not a gamer, then we had some people whose kids were gamers or who had siblings or who had friends, and it was cool to see that connection.
Yeah, I mean, that's that's one thing that I really appreciate about esports in general, as opposed to traditional sports, is that esports has that it's casual and you can play these games and just enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
While like casual games of like pickup basketball and casual like football matches, like they're still just kind of like might be goofing, but you're still also really hardcore competing at the same time. And so gaming has that pick your flavor kind of deal. But then for you all to be building up what you want Emerson Esports to be known for, you're providing content, you're providing competitive, you're able to straddle that and give everyone the kind of flavor that they want. So 51 flavors of esports, basically.
Yeah. Easily.
Yeah, I mean, in being the president, that's kind of one of the areas where I feel like I let people down sometimes, just because it's like, you can't do everything to the best, where it's like, okay, I'm being the Swiss Army knife right now, but the screwdriver's like kind of awkward and like to hold and to like screw things and like, oh, we did this Smash event, but like I couldn't pay attention to it, and the people who I thought were going to be like really on top of it were not. But, you know, that's kind of where we've been at, is trying to balance like on-campus community with professional development and content opportunities.
And I love that point that you just made, because it shows a understanding of leadership. You delegated, it didn't work out the way. You trained those individuals and what you had expectations for. And if they didn't follow through, you got to follow up with them and say, okay, next time, let's grow this in this way. Let's handle it this way. And that way, it's a learning opportunity for everyone. And that level of leadership and management is not something I've ever heard of anyone getting experience like that until they're already in a working profession. And so, like what we were talking about earlier, is this was your opportunity to make a mistake and learn from it and still have a safety net behind you, knowing that this is on college campus and like this is the absolute best way and best environment to be learning.
And definitely with Kev, he's been the absolute best person to learn from, because he's had so much experience in so many different industries. And especially now, it's never, whenever we receive criticism from him, and I've definitely seen this in like my classes with him, but also with the CEX, he's never patronizing, not that I think he ever could be. he's the nicest human ever. But he is always willing to help you. And that is what is so amazing, because I definitely went into his esports class not knowing anything about more than just like Super Mario Brothers, like Super Smash, and that was it. I think that's an important one. But I would also do the same thing with you, David. I would just sit there and be like, tell me about like what you know, like why you're here. Like it's especially yesterday when we had our little wrap up.
We'll call it a wrap up.
It was at MJ O'Connor's. It was lovely.
They have a wonderful lobster croissant sandwich. I went there for dinner last night. It was amazing.
I saw it on the menu. I was considering it.
We were all very tired. We were all talking about it. And Kevin just kept looking at us. He's like, guys, we did it. We did it. And he was so excited. And, like, meanwhile, Kim had this list. She went around to all the people, like, all the sponsors and everyone on the floor. And she was like, okay, like, what did you think that we could have done better? What were you expecting? Like, tell me about your experience here. And then, like, we're obviously going to go over that. And, like, as a team, we can always learn. And I think the best person to learn from is people in the industry, and especially people like Kevin, who are just so willing and so kind.
One recommendation I'm going to have for you to have that retrospective about the event: do a follow-up survey. Email everyone who attended, every one of the speakers. Offer a branching route for questions for people who were speakers versus people who were just attending, or asking people why they didn't attend if they went to a previous CEX. And just start finding out more of that information so that you can really start catering to it, because you don't want the memory of the event to have faded so it's no longer fresh in their mind. So if you
definitely, we'll throw that one in the Discord.
Definitely should.
A short premium subscription to a survey tool that allows you to customize it, relatively cheap, inexpensive. You can pay like a one-time cost, and then the value of that data comes through as you start preparing for CEX 2021.
That's such an exciting thing to think about.
As this
it's not. I'm tired. My legs are still sore.
Same here, man.
If David stood all day, I just sat in heels.
No, that's still challenge, though. Yeah. But as this really was my first CEX, that like your point of just like reaching out to everyone and seeing like what they really appreciated about it and what we could possibly do to make CEX 2021 a more immersive experience and like approachable for just about anybody. It's really experiences like that that also just add to the value of just doing same events over and over and over, because you can do the same things and like not really get much out of them. But with events like CEX that are student driven and headed by a phenomenal leader that is Kevin Mitchell, and that just inspires and keeps bringing in new people the way he did for me, the way he did for Katie, and like all these other people, and Neil,
everyone in our esports program.
And really, it just like really shows that like if you have the drive and you have the passion for it, that you're willing to step outside your comfort zone. It may not be your particular profession, because I remember starting and Kevin was telling me like, "Hey, Davis, do you want to run interviews for people?" I was like, "I have never done interviews in my life, but yeah, sure." And I remember just like reaching out to you, Joe, and like getting started with that, and that was really cool. And then he pointed me in the direction of Megan Lee, our awesome PR gal.
Meg's hopefully coming soon.
Yeah, I hope she's coming soon too. She's great. And then she got us in touch with you, and just like, oh my gosh, like just the
we had the dream.
The team. Dream team, yeah.
The dream team. We had someone outside the door. We had Davis in the camera. I was moving stuff.
Shout out to Sharon for holding
that
boom up, man.
Guy.
Yeah.
Held the boom.
His forearms must be shredded by now.
Like 6 hours until one of Kevin's friends who he worked with in the industry, Pat.
Pat, yeah.
He pulled over like the Bellman's cart.
Yeah.
And stuck the boom mic on the Bellman's cart. And we're like, we should have done that at 10. It's 2.
Yeah.
Pat's a genius.
Everyone in that room that we had working in the media room was just so incredible. Yeah. They made... And it was, I guess we can say this about the entire conference, that we were all trying to make each other's lives easier.
Yeah.
Because, and I definitely said this about yesterday, I thought it was just controlled chaos, but in the absolute best way.
Mm-hmm.
And with controlled chaos, we have to be helping each other, looking out for each other, having each other's backs, and also like communicating. That's definitely a big topic that came up yesterday, was communication.
Yep.
And I think we had communication like pretty down pat. Whenever we reached out in our Discord, we would always have like no more than 2 minutes, we'd have someone saying like, "Hey, I got this. Do you need anything from me?" Like, "Oh, I'm downstairs. Like, where do you need me to go?" And it was just that like family, that community was just amazing.
Everything I saw yesterday was people finding their grooves, getting used to it, because like being live in that situation is very different than how you plan for it.
Yeah.
And so as I saw everyone getting into their groove, like no one was getting snippy because they were stressed out. No one was like being down on someone because they weren't running something how they thought it should be run. Everyone was talking to each other, coordinating, walking instead of running.
Oh, I was running.
There was actual physical running, but like no one was running in a panic. Everyone, like you said, it was controlled chaos. People understood. It was the right amount of importance put to things, and so it just felt right. And eventually, as everything was moving, it was fun to see the students having fun with it.
Oh, we were grooving. Yeah. It was so there is at one point where we'd have interviews and we'd have like just like blaring horns, and we had to redo an interview question like 4 times, and we're all just sitting there and we're like, "Truck, can you not?"
And we
were all just
Joanna Brewer was just
We were just giggling. We were all laughing. Like, it's going to be on that tape, and it's so funny because we're all just laughing. And Shireen's just standing there like, "Please, please start talking. Please start talking."
Oh, my gosh. No, it's just, like, really cool how, like, just the speakers that we had for the sit-down interviews, just, like, how approachable they were, and they were just, like, they just saw us as just really... amount of comments we got back from it was like, "Wow, you guys are really so professional. We appreciate what you're doing." And the fact that we were all just like there under the same passion of esports and just bringing people together, it just really goes to show like how much value will come from future CEX things, not just for us, but for future students who get involved with this kinds of events. And really, it's just it's really just a testament of just like get involved, like be more active with these things, and don't be afraid to go up to people like Kevin Mitchell that tell you these kinds of things, that like are and is so passionate about it and inspires you. They don't come around very often, so yeah. So just take a stand and go for it, even if it's not even like comfortable for you. Like, just go out and try. There's no reason not to take risks for these kinds of things. And right. for us, like Controlled Chaos, we knocked it out of the park.
Yep. And then the biggest thing that I also noticed yesterday was no one ever wrote us off as college students. They all looked at us, they go, what company do you work for? And we're like, we are students of Kevin. Smile. Yep. But no, definitely, like, we could definitely talk this into the ground of how much that we love doing interviews, but you were on the floor most of the day.
I was on the floor most of the day. Yeah.
Tell us about that. Because yeah, I know that Davis and I didn't see the light of day until like 6 p.m.
Right. So I guess I graduated last May, so I haven't been in the local area. So I haven't been as close to playing this CX as I was the last one. And I kind of just came in as the fixer of just like, whatever needs doing, I'll do it. So I showed up in the morning. I had access to our Twitter account. And I'm like, no one's tweeting about our vendors. So I just went around to every vendor and I just took a photo of them and I made a tweet just to say, hey, this person's here, you know.
Neil was hustling.
Yeah. Dragon
Real
Line.
Hustler, man.
Thank you. But yeah, Dragon Line's here. They're doing giveaways at this time and this time. Or like, hey, Extra Life is here. If you give them your information, you can get entered to win a Saturday PAX badge. So I did that for a little while, and then I did some just general hospitality stuff of, like, the badges and, like, cleaning up after stuff, because when you run enough events on a college level, you just get used to cleaning up after people.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Then I camera opped at the end of the day, which I used to do in high school because I filmed local football games. And it was basically the same thing where I just stood behind a camera and I followed and tracked someone on stage.
So Neil is definitely the Swiss Army knife, not the screwdriver.
I'm at this weird position where I am somewhat the screwdriver, where it's like, well, I can be a screwdriver. It's just a little awkward, and you gotta like work it a little bit. And so I'm like, maybe I need to just not be a Swiss Army knife and just be a screwdriver, so I can be the best screwdriver. But yeah, I did on the floor operations, and then as a journalism major,
as a lovely journalism major.
That's right. As somebody who studied journalism, I was going to do some post-event coverage on the website and on an esports blog and project that Kevin's looking to start called Esports Uncut.
That's been very fun to see. I think Davis and I are also on that one.
Esports Uncut.
It's so fun.
It is,
bro. Yeah,
it's a work in progress.
It has been a work in progress for so long.
But at the same time, we've also shifted efforts towards this.
I hope we have.
We definitely have.
I wouldn't see why
so
we wouldn't.
What can you tell me about Esports Uncut?
So Esports Uncut's been like in a progress and incubation for a long time. Basically because we had a want to cover events surrounding esports and college esports, you know, news in the esports ecosystem is also just so hard to come by.
Yeah.
A lot of times you're just like, I follow Slasher on Twitter and like that's where I get legitimate hard source news from, because that's where it comes from. He's got it. And it's a lot of just individuals and influencers rather than reliable outlets and such. Yep. So we had this want to kind of cover stuff in the collegiate space where that wasn't really happening, or at least do coverage of, you know, big esports by college students, to give college students, you know, the opportunity to cover stuff on that professional setting. So I think the first thing that we ever did with it was 2 years ago in the fall, the E-League major came to Boston and they played the Gannis Arena. Yeah, and we got actual press badges to that. Nice. It was kind of just like,
we are official.
Right. It was just like,
we're official, we're there.
But it was just like, we have a name and we went to this website and we found this press contact and we got their information, and that was just how we got in.
That's what you do with journalism.
Yeah. So we had a student who went there, Joseph Yee, who did videography and just shot this amazing video and hype reel.
Oh, good.
And he went on and he covered a lot of events for us, and now he works with Team Liquid covering their CSGO team and doing video content for them. That was kind of a small tangent, but
no.
Esports Uncut is just this like bigger, you know, multimedia esports project. Like, so for instance, like that content, we had a lot of stuff that we were producing for trade shows that was kind of just going to Twitter and living there. So we kind of had the aspiration to create Esports Uncut as this home to say, these are all of our efforts, you know, this is what we're doing, and this is kind of a home for it. So this is our video, this is our text. I've written articles for it around like synopses of the first Overwatch League season when that was relevant, or like just a simple editorial when the gaming cafe in Alston opened about just like, this is, you know, social gaming and where it's been. the project's been a work in progress, Esports Uncut, I mean, for a long time. It's been across multiple websites. So we had a Squarespace and we had a Wix.
I think it's still Wix.
No, it's a WordPress now.
Oh.
It's a WordPress. I believe
Oopsies. I believe
we went to WordPress at some time, and I think that's where it stands now. And it's kind of it's a project where...
It's a love child.
Yes, it's been on the back burner a bit because it's kind of secondary. It's like, well, we need to have esports, you know, collegiate esports events like CEX to cover with with Esports Uncut. So hopefully now... that we've done the event, we can produce some coverage and have it live on Esports Uncut. I wouldn't be surprised if some of the video stuff that we did, you know, the video archives,
let's get that on there.
Yeah, landed on Esports Uncut as well as the Collegiate Esports Expo website.
Yeah, there's very limited resources for news within the collegiate space or even event coverage. So there, I think CESN, College Esports Network. Right. Yeah. They were a startup that I think started last year, and they came and then they went.
Yeah.
And I haven't really heard anything from them. Mm-hmm. And as much as like the Esports Observer or Esports Insider and like you said, Slasher, like as much as they are covering things, it's a lot of the sponsorship deal just happened. This team signed this person, and like here's the metrics of most watched game, most watched Twitch channel, that kind of stuff.
Right.
And it doesn't really touch on the collegiate aspect. And so when you did the Boston Uprising events or any of this, like the NYXL Spring Rally, any of the coverage for that, it was all collegiate. And having that inside track to it and being able to say, this is what's important to us, and then create the content around it, it's way more valuable to you all, as well as providing a very unique aspect to the news coverage of esports broadly.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of great work that's being done in the collegiate scene that I think doesn't get a ton of eyes on it or a ton of attention. So, like, you know, when we helped with the Boston Uprising Collegiate Cup, there's some, like, thought in the back of my head of, like, no one knows I did that. Nobody knows
we
about those.
We know you did that.
I know
because you ran the tournament.
I know
and
you
put every. You kept everything sane.
No, I know you know that. I know that 2 months of my life, but.
Well, now the podcast knows that.
That's right.
Everybody knows that Neil was the brain behind everything that ran smoothly.
Well,
in the technical side of the game.
I did the competitive.
The competitive
coordination. So I was
everything
our Overwatch.
Everything else was our class.
Right. I was our Overwatch team. Well, also the craft group, but I was our Overwatch team coordinator. So I had experience in running the, not only running the team, but understanding the rules and like being a participant in a league. So when we were doing the tournament, that was kind of my aspect of it, of just like, okay, this is how the tournament should be formatted. You know, these are standard rules and things that people should abide by. These are how situations need to play out in terms of, like, what if someone doesn't show up? Or, like, what if someone's being really toxic in the chat, which did happen? And just kind of tackling those things. Mm-hmm. But I guess to get back to the original point, like, there's, you know, so much awesome, like, collegiate esports work that's been done that I feel like just doesn't get seen because it's all just on the student level and people like us are just so busy doing it that we don't have time to tell people about it.
Yeah, and, I mean, on top of that, like, the schools themselves aren't always on board with the content being made. They kind of distance themselves from these clubs and programs, so you're not able to leverage their attention that they're able to garner through the other content that they're making. Or like if you go to athletic department websites for certain schools, and even if they have like a varsity program for esports, it's alphabetical traditional sports and esports at the bottom or
right.
in like the third or fourth column on the right,
yeah,
right next to other.
It doesn't
feel good to see that, but it's buried. And there's other esport club facilities that are like in the fourth floor basement in the old computer lab before.
So we usually just use classrooms.
We don't have facilities.
Yeah.
We have classrooms.
We
have classrooms and we have projectors and we have people who bring in their own personal gaming consoles.
Gaming machines. Yes.
I know that Olin brought in so many consoles. Olin and I are very good friends. And what happened was that he would leave his apartment with three different backpacks every Friday. And I'd be like, I looked at him, I was like, Olin, what? Like the first time that I saw it, because we've been friends for about 4 years now, the first time I saw it, he would be coming from his dorm. But then when he moved off campus, he then left his apartment and took a 40-minute train ride with a Switch, a Wii, and I think one other console.
The GameCube, probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yes. And he had them in three different backpacks and, like, hauled them all to campus and then brought them all the way back.
He sounds like a Smash player.
Yes.
He is. So, yeah. So absolutely, absolutely. He'll be up here soon.
I mean, yes. That is, like, the lifeblood of the fighting
game. Yeah.
Yeah. So one of our, like, biggest mainstays as a game was always Smash Brothers. Yep. We had people every single Friday for, like, 6 hours, they would play Smash. Yep. And they would play Brawl. Like, nobody played Brawl, but they were just like, hey, we have Brawl, we can play Brawl. And so, like, as a club even, it was just, we had these bulky CRTs, like, stored in a campus space somewhere that, like, in a cart that wasn't ours, in a space that we weren't supposed to have, but somebody was just like, okay.
We don't care.
You can do this, I guess. And the CRTs were such a headache, but.
I can imagine.
Oh, my God,
CRTs. It's just, I know that I saw so much joy whenever he brought that equipment, because I'd be like, aren't you, like, isn't it heavy? And he goes, yeah, but we're going to play, it's Fight Club.
It's Fight Club.
Yeah, he's like, it's Fight Club, and I was like, Okay. Have fun.
It's still going on today.
Have snacks. Drink water. Yeah, it's tomorrow. Right?
Yeah, it's tomorrow.
It's Friday. Well, yeah, I don't know if they'll do it because PAX is going. You know what? I imagine they probably will. They probably still want
to
play Smash Brothers.
Because here's my thing, is that they'll probably go from PAX to Smash.
I mean, there's probably a Smash tournament at PAX, and as soon as they're done doing the tournament for the day, because I imagine the championship will be on Sunday, they'll go find a place practice where they can play Smash.
And there's also Balance Patch, which is out IBU, a joy.
Yeah, the Gaming Cafe in Austin does fight game. I think they also do theirs on Friday? I don't know.
I thought they did those on Thursday.
Maybe. I'm not sure.
I just know that Olin was always gone, and he'd be like, yeah. I'd be like, you're going off to BU? And he goes, yeah. And I was like, okay, have fun. Get home safe. And he's like, cool, I'll see ya. And then he'd just, like, go on his merry way out to Austin, and then he'd still... There's just so much joy in the gaming community. There's so much joy that, like, these games bring. And you just think of them as, like, a very, like, oh, they're video games. No. It's more than just a video game to someone.
It's not just sitting around playing games all day, because you're learning the game, you're strategizing in the game, you're helping someone else get better at the game. And while it is playing, but playing with that ultimate purpose of getting better way more joyful and way more involving as part of a community, which... all of this is just building a community.
Yeah. And that's definitely what I saw yesterday. Everyone was like, this community is so cool. And I was like, actually, I love this community. Because I used to try and go to Fight Club. And I just saw that I would, like, walk by the class and I'd just hear, oh my God, and it's screaming. It wasn't just, like, aggressive. It was just, like, so elated. And everyone at the CEX yesterday was just like, this community is so freaking cool. And I was like, I know.
Which reminds me that after CEX finished, people set up Smash on one of the screens to play
Olin.
Smash
that
at the
Olin.
Event.
Yep, yeah, yep, they did. Yep. Yeah. That's crazy.
Because they just love to play Smash.
I know. It's a joy.
Okay. Cool. So, much like Sean Evans, is there anything else that you guys would like to say? Because I totally borrowed that for my podcast as well, because it was Hot Ones that initially introduced me to kind of interview styles.
I love that.
Yeah, there you
that's
go.
That's awesome.
So
we should have had some wings, guys. Sorry, we dropped the ball on that one.
Okay.
Red carpet rollout.
Yes, one last thing.
Oh, I'm a senior. I graduate in May. I don't know. I really like to continue working in this industry.
Yeah, plug yourself. How can people find you?
I'm on Twitter, the retweet, TheRHEETWEET, the retweet. I'm on Instagram under the same name. I'm into sports broadcasting. That's been my entire life for a very long time, and it brings me so much joy, and I'd hope to continue. I know that I will continue into the future, and hopefully in May when I graduate. Neil?
Yeah, I graduated last May, and, you know, esports has been a wonderful clusterfuck to be involved in, in so many different ways, in the Collegiate Cup and CEX. And
it's been a joy.
And running a club and everything. But, yeah, I mean, So I graduated last May. I studied journalism and marketing, but I self-ascribe to be a Swiss Army knife, so that's journalism, that's writing, event production, graphics work, film, you know, videography, film production, photography. I have a website, neilrsweeney.com.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
There you go.
Fancy.
All right, Davis, how about you?
So I'm Davis Yagen, once again. I graduate next year in May. This has been a really profound experience to CEX in general. I've met some really awesome people in the esports club because I've always heard about it, and not until now that I've really gotten into it. I wish I had gotten to it earlier, but better now than never, I suppose. You can find me on Instagram, Davis Gagnon, Facebook, same thing. Really what I really hope to do is just be a team player and find the passions that other people have as well and make a collaborative experience, whether that will be for esports events, organizations, whatever that may be. I hope to do that later down the line, and looking forward to where it takes me.
Great. Well, thanks, everyone, for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time. We appreciate it. Thanks for having us.
All right. I will catch you all later.
Part two. Summoning Hour Podcast.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the podcast.